right, if you've got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and locate James chapter 3. We're going to be at the halfway point today. So we're going to be reading, thank you, James 3, 13 through 18. Let's make sure you find that in your Bible real quick. Unbeknownst to me, the way I kind of structured this message today is quite interesting because I was going to use, because since we're at kind of the halfway point, I was going to use the halftime metaphor, which turns out to be, I guess Georgia didn't get a halftime speech yesterday based off of the second half of how they played. So anyway, kind of a little more salt in the wounds this week. Lord's got a sense of humor. So, but before we do, before we get started this morning, let's go over our memory verse that we've got together as we're learning. This will prepare us for the next couple weeks as we look at James chapter 4 starting next week. All right, is everybody ready? All right, James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. James 4:10. All right. So let me kind of tell you what James is going to do this morning, because it will set us up, kind of help set up the structure of how I want to present the message and look at these verses. We're only going to read a few verses, like I said, verses 13 through 18. But what James is going to do really is he's going to look back at what we've talked about so far, and he's really going to do that in one verse. And in one verse, he's going to sum up everything we've talked about for the last 8 or 9 weeks, which is really amazing that he can do that. And then he's going to prepare us for what we're going to go into next. So it is really like a good halftime speech. So we're going to talk about what we've done so far, and then we're going to look forward to what we're going to talk about in the next couple weeks. All right, so that's how we're going to do. We're going to read the verses, then we'll kind of get into it. All right, so here we go. All right, chapter 3, verse number 13. My tablet is not working here today. Oh, there we go. All right. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Well, this is when technology fails you. All right, here we go. Let's try that again. All right. Whew, rough morning. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Right? So remember back in chapter 1, when James talked about every good and perfect gift comes down from above. He's saying if you have selfish ambition and bitter jealousy, that's not coming from above. Therefore, it's coming from below. Very good. All right. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest, you need to remember this thing, we're going to look at it in detail. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, in verse number 13, James is going to sum up all that we've seen so far. And if you'll remember back all the way to the first message we ever did, or the first lesson we ever did in James, I said that the question James asked in chapter 3, verse 13, is the crucial question for the entire book. Right? And the question is, who is wise and understanding among you? In other words, let me paraphrase it in maybe a little bit more modern vernacular. Who in the church knows what to do and then does it? Right? Because remember, James is writing to believers. Who in the church knows what to do and then does it? Right? Because don't we oftentimes, let's be real for a moment, real early, we're going to be real really early in this message, right? A lot of us know what to do, we just don't do it, right? We know what good decisions are. We just choose not to make them. Right? I think we could all agree on that. So the question, the key question for the entire book is who knows what to do, who knows the decision to make, and then actually does it. In the daily life, in the living out of the community of faith, who knows what to do and then does it. Now, James in the next sentence is going to sum up the entire first half of the book, of his book, by in these three phrases. All right, here they are. Good conduct shows his works and meekness of wisdom. When James says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. James, when he says good conduct, he's reminding us of what that looks like by jogging our memories back to the times when James says, don't be partial. Don't lift up one person's face based off arbitrary reasons and push another person's face down for arbitrary reasons. Right? Y'all remember that one? All right. Then he reminds us of other things about the way we talk and the language that we use, as we saw last week. When he says, show his works, he calls back to our memory that whole discussion about how faith, real faith, is a faith that works, not a faith that sits, right? And by when he says meekness of wisdom, he jogs our memories back to that idea of strength under control, of receiving the word, hearing the word, then receiving the word, right? And then allowing it to process in our life, which produces salvation personally, internally, and focus externally. So in one sentence, James is saying, here's what we've talked about so far, church. And now we're going to transition to here's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the book. Or kind of the idea that themes through the rest of the book, which we will absolutely see next week, right? Because James has this little interesting phrase or phrases in there next week. He talks about quarreling and anger and murder. Let me just kind of pick your interest for next week or in the next couple weeks. Why would James mention to the church about quarreling, anger, and murder? Because it might have happened. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about, think about this, the real possibility. I'm not saying that, you know, I haven't wrote the next lessons or whatever, so we're all going to learn together. But James writes about certain things because either they have happened or they are about to happen. Right? You ever seen church members get so mad at each other they was about to go to blows? Once or twice, right here. Right? In fact, one time I saw a grown man about want to beat up a college student because the college student's brother wore a hat to church. Now think about that. Think about that. Down in the bowels of the church, over by the stairs, by the gym, a grown man who had two kids, was about ready to beat up a college student because the college student's younger brother wore a hat in church. And when the older man was ugly to the brother who wore the hat, the brother who wore the hat just left. He didn't say, I ain't wearing no, he just left. So the older man found him after church. And was like, at his brother, at the college student, because his brother wore a hat. And I'm like, and then he won't involve me. And I'm like, no. Nope, I'm just watching, because I got my phone here. I had to call 911 on somebody up in here. So why does James write about this? Because it's about to happen, right? So what we're going to learn today is going to prepare us for what we're going to learn in the future, right? Because it's going to play out one of two ways. And you already, when we get there, you'll understand because you've seen it play out in your life and our life. Now, here's how I want to look at this as we go forward. I want to look at verse 18 first because verse 18 sets up what comes, or is really a conclusion, but in my mind, it sets up what James talked about previously, okay? So look at me, find verse 18 again, all right? And we're going to read it again because it's going to set, we're going to break this little sentence down. Right? James says in verse 18, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, harvest, a harvest of righteousness. We're going to break it down. Harvest of righteousness, sown in peace by those who make peace. We're going to look at all three little sections. A harvest of righteousness. What is James talking about? Now, we all understand what harvest means, right? We all understand that. I love harvest season. When Holly and I lived in South Georgia, there was nothing better than when they turned the peanuts up. And man, it's just amazing. The smell is, oh. And if you've never had a green peanut, it is completely different than a dry peanut or a boiled peanut. Peanuts are amazing because they have three different flavor profiles depending on when you eat them. If you've never had a green peanut, you can't eat a lot of them. You get sick. But if you have just a handful of them, oh, man, they're so good. I love green peanuts right out of the field. Shells are still moist. Oh. Now, I didn't like cotton picking season, and here's why. Because around our house, this is a little gross, okay, just bear with me. Because whenever the farmers would pick cotton around our house, we always had an infestation of field rats. Not mice, field rats, like biggins, you know. But I love seeing the fields dotted with white bowls of cotton all over where we lived when we first got married. It was beautiful. I love harvest season. So we understand, even though that's not really we don't have row cropping in this area, we still understand harvest and what it means. It means to pick something when it's ripe or when it's ready, whether that's cotton, peanuts, apples, or flowers, right? You pick something when it's ripe. Now, but James doesn't say harvest of fruits and vegetables. He says harvest of righteousness. So what does righteousness mean? The word righteousness means simply, it's really, I'm going to give you a really simple definition to understand the entire righteousness, live righteous, all that. Whenever you read righteous in the Bible, here's what you need to understand. Right with God. All right? Right with God. When you're righteous, that means you are being right with God, right? Righteousness is doing right in God's sight, right? So being right in God's sight, doing right in God's sight. So when James says a harvest of righteousness, he means that we are picking, doing, we are harvesting, we are picking, cutting, pulling, turning, whatever words you want to use, depending on what you're harvesting. We are picking, doing right in God's sight at the perfect moment. Right? I want you to hang on to that concept. Harvest of righteousness. Picking, doing right at the perfect moment. All right? So that's the idea. But then he says, it is sown in peace. All right? That's interesting, right? Because as I was thinking about it just this morning, sown in peace. You can translate that one of two ways, right? You can understand it in the sense that it is sown into peace, right? So in other words, peace is the fertile soil for which righteousness is put in. Or it is the attitude of the sower, right? So either way you look at it, here's what's going on. Here's what James is saying, all right? Just as a seed has to have the right conditions in order to grow and mature and produce a harvest, so righteousness must have the right conditions as well. And those conditions are the conditions of peace. So let me kind of put it maybe a little bit easier to understand. Peace is the fertile soil for which righteousness grows. Peace is the fertile soil for which righteousness grows, right? Every seed has to have a specific climate. I have some blueberry bushes in our yard. And when I bought the blueberry bushes, I did a lot of research on blueberries because I wanted to make sure they grew correctly. And we actually got blueberries, right? This year, the birds got the blueberries. We didn't get blueberries. The birds got the blueberries. But there were a ton of blueberries. But here's what you have to realize. Now, where I have my blueberries is right near the rest of my garden. But I specifically put the blueberries uphill. Here's why. Blueberries take very acidic soil. They cannot have a neutral pH. But I knew the rest of my crops in my garden needed a higher pH. So I knew that if I put ashes out of the fireplace or lime out and I planted the blueberry bushes downhill, guess what's going to happen? it's all going to run down there, and they're not going to produce. Every type of thing needs the right type of soil and conditions. And James says, if you want to harvest righteousness in your life, if you want to harvest doing right with God, peace is the fertile soil for which it happens. Then he says, so harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, those who are actively creating the environment for which the seed to grow are also the ones who are sowing the seed. Now, you know this to be true, right? Just in personal relationships. Is the person that you know in your life who is the agitator and the pot stirrer and the person who is always up in it and is always, always causing trouble, are they the person that's sowing righteousness? Usually not. You want to know why? Because they're not creating the fertile soil for which righteousness needs to produce a harvest. Right? So you can't have just the seed or just the soil. You got to have both in order to have a harvest, right? That's just the way it is. All right, so that's the idea, okay? So James is saying, if you want to have righteousness, let me sum this entire sentence up because we got to move on. If you want to have a harvest of doing good in your life, you've got to not only plant the right seed, you got to have the right soil, which is peace, okay? If you want, listen to me. If you want to harvest good in your life, you have to have the right seed, which is good, doing good, being right in God's sight, and you have to have the right soil, which is peace. You can't have just one or the other. All right? Now what James is going to tell us, that sets us up to look at what happens if we follow James's idea here and if we don't. Because in verses 14 through 16, listen up, he's going to tell us what happens if we don't sow good in righteousness and we don't sow an infertile soil. And then he's going to tell us what happens if we do. All right, so we're going to look at the negative first. In verses 14 through 16, there are two words that James presents to us. He says, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. These are amazing words that James has created or put together. The word bitter jealousy, I love it. It's a bad word, but the way he constructs it, it is so imagery filled. The word bitter means to have a sharp taste, right? I remember before Mr. Hogue Miles passed away, one time I was over visiting at his house, and we were talking about his growing up years in the mountains. And they had apples, and they had a ton of apples, he said, every year. And he said they actually had built an apple house in the side of the mountain. I thought, Lord have mercy. Like, in the mountain next to it, like the side of the hill next to his house, they had dug it out, and they had built a house, and the lower part that was up to the earth was where they kept all the apples, and it kept them cool, and they lasted longer. And a lot of what they would do is they would take apples, and they would make apple juice, right? And he said that his mother, they would drink the apple juice in his house for about 3 days. And he said, after about three, listen to his word. These were, no joke, these were his words. It became sharp. Right? And I said, well, what did you do? I kind of figured out what that might have meant. And I said, what did you do with it? He said, oh, right outside mom's kitchen window was a barrel. And they would pour the apple juice in the barrel, and eventually over time, it would become apple cider vinegar. That's probably why he lived so long, right? Because now, what do you want? What are they? All the people said, apple cider vinegar, drink it. You know, it's good for you. Tastes terrible by itself. But anyway, that was his term, sharp. That's the idea that James says here. Bitterness, bitter jealousy, bitter means to be sharp. It means to be sour. It means to be, right? The word jealousy there literally means to boil, right? So to boil with sharpness, with, right? The word selfish ambition literally means to intentionally create division for personal gain. To intentionally create division for personal gain. So when you put these two ideas, selfish ambition and bitter jealousy, together, here's the idea. To me, it's like a Sour Patch Kid. I hate Sour Patch Kids. You know why? Because when you first put them in your mouth, you're like, this isn't bad. Because this sucker is covered in sugar on the outside. And then when you bite down in the middle of it and that sugar wears off, what do you get? Bitter jealousy, because that sucker's terrible, because it is awfully sour. And so when James says bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, what he's saying is the person, listen to me, may seem sweet on the outside, but they are boiling with sourness on the inside that will leach out into creating divisions for their own personal gain. Let's be honest, we've met that person before, haven't we? Some of us may have been that person before, right? And James says, listen to me, let me connect the dots. James says, James is trying to create the idea that if you are not sowing righteousness and creating peaceful soil, then you inevitably will at some point end up in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Right? James is trying to present the picture that we are all sowing something. The question is, what seed are we sowing? Right? Now, what harvest? Because remember, everything you plant in the ground produces something, right? So what's the harvest for bitter jealousy and selfish ambition? James says, it is disorder and every vile practice. It's pretty harsh, isn't it? Right? Now, here's the good side. James says in verse 17 that if we are willing and ready to create the perfect soil for righteousness to grow in, then we will reap not only righteousness, but James says wisdom from above will come down. In other words, as we are creating fertile soil for righteousness to grow, we are creating the fertile soil of peace, and we are planting righteousness in the ground. Not only will we reap righteousness as a reward, but we will also reap the wisdom from above. And James has some defining words around that. He says it's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, full of good fruits, impartial, and sincere. All of which resemble God's character and nature for who he is and what he does. So in other words, when we plant righteousness in the fertile soil of peace, we end up harvesting what who God is and what God does in our life. And what happens when we do that? Everybody else is affected around us, right? Real quickly, let me give you a story, and then I want to close up with where this applies to us. Think about the story of Ruth and Boaz. Think about the story of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth is able to glean the field of Boaz, right? Ruth and Boaz story in the Old Testament. You can go back and read it. It's only four chapters. It's a marvelous story of redemption and salvation and a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do for all of us. But there's this little piece in the story that helps us understand what James is talking about here. At one point in the story, Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, they are dirt poor. They don't have anything to eat. And Ruth goes to the field of this guy named Boaz, and basically she picks up everything the pickers miss. Now think about this. If Boaz and his people were lax in what they planted and the soil they planted in, guess who doesn't have anything to eat? Ruth. In the same way, when we are lax in the seed that we plant and the soil we planted in, not only does it affect us, you personally, and me personally, but it affects everybody that's around you, right? Because the person who has bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, they're just not rotting on the inside. They are decaying everybody they touch. You ever put a rotten piece of fruit around a bunch of other fruit? It's interesting what happens, right? Everything goes bad. When if you just take out the one bad, everything else stays good. So how does this apply to us today? Well, I asked the question earlier. I want to bring it back. Here's the idea. Two questions, two parts, same side, same coin, two different sides. What soil are you preparing, and what seed are you planting? I thought about this last night. And I've heard this from a variety of different people from the course of my life. I've probably even said it myself. You've probably said it too. And here's the statement we've made, all right? Either about us personally or about somebody else. Usually it's about somebody else. Sometimes it's about us. All right, listen, here's the statement we've all made. Ready? Man, bad just really seems to follow that person. You ever said that? Bad things just seem to follow them around. Can I give you a little insight here today? bad don't follow nobody around. We follow bad around because we plant bad seed. And then one day it's like, oops, where'd that come from? Well, it's because you've been planting bad seed all along. And you, as well as I know from James here just today, not to mention in all the other passages in the Bible that talk about the law of the harvest, which is what seed goes in the ground eventually comes up. Right? Bad doesn't follow people around. We follow it around because we plant bad seed in bad ground and then wonder why good doesn't come up. Well, when you plant bad, now look, I understand things are going to happen that are out of our control. That's not what I'm talking about today, right now. I'm talking about what are you planting in your life, planting in your life? What seed are you putting in the ground? More importantly, what soil are you creating in your own personal life for that seed to flourish? Because if you're not creating the right soil, you can plant seeds all day long and they still won't flourish because you didn't prepare the soil to plant the seeds in, right? We've got this, we've lived here 3.5 years now. And down our backfield, there's a strip of red clay that goes to the woods. Do you want to know why? Y'all know why. Y'all have lived here longer than I have. You want to know why that strip is still there? Because it is inhospitable to seeds. I've seen seeds on there. I've seen stuff on it. Guess what? Mysteriously, it never produces grass or trees or nothing. And that strip is still there right now, today. Because the soil hasn't been prepared for anything to go into it. So my question is, what soil are you preparing and what seed are you planting? See, some of us, we need to be cultivating peaceful righteousness in our life. We need to be preparing the fertile soil of peace and sowing the seed of righteousness, which inevitably means, and here's kind of the thing I want to leave you with, some of us need to pick up some things and some of us need to put down some things, right? Because some of us are holding on to some things that are keeping us from either creating the soil that we need or planting the seed that we need. And so some of us, we're holding on to these things, and some of them may be bad things, some of them may be mediocre things, some of them may be good things, but all of them are inhibiting us from creating, preparing the soil in our own lives to plant the seed in. And so some of us need to give up some things. We need to say, hey, this was good for a season, but I need to push this out. Others of us, we need to pick up some things, right? And notice I'm saying things. I'm not being specific because every one of us is different, right? And what you may need to put down is what I may need to pick up and vice versa. So I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know that it's true in my life, and so I assume it's true in your life, is there are some things that hinder me because I'm holding on to them and hindering me because I'm not willing to pick them up. Like, I'm not willing to put down, and hey, I'm just going to be honest with you, this is one in my own life. I'm not willing to put down my phone from watching YouTube videos at night before I go to bed so I can pick up the book that's right beside my bed that I've been needing to read. Right? Feel free to ask me on Wednesday how I'm doing. Probably need to still put that phone down. Just being honest. Right? Not bad videos. They're good videos. Well, some of them. Maybe. Right? And my point is, sometimes we got to put some things down, sometimes we got to pick some things up. Right? So where are you at? What soil are you creating? What seed are you planting? What do you need to put away? What do you need to pick up? I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know all of us need to do better at preparing the soil and better at planting the seed. Right? Pastor Joe is going to come up. Miss Reba is going to come up. We're going to go into our invitation time like we do every Sunday. I'll be down front. If you'd like to speak in person, I'd love to talk to you. But today, here's the question I want to leave you with. What soil are you preparing? What seed are you planting? Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts and lives. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord, you kept preparing and planting, and Lord, that you never gave up. Lord, that you continued to work, Lord, so that I might have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, so that many of us in this room might have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to allow us to prepare the soil in our own lives and in around us, Lord, to continue to plant the seeds of righteousness and good and doing right in your sight. Lord, so that one day we may reap the reward of righteousness, of wisdom from above. Right? Lord, may we be wise enough not to plant bad seed and have quarreling and selfish ambition and bitter jealousy and all those negative things that don't honor you. Lord, may we make good decisions. Lord, may we be wise. And Lord, may we prepare good dirt. And Lord, may we plant good seeds. In your name we pray. Amen.